Okay, now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. Ready?
Unlucky in love? What better way to explore a romance than through the wreckage it leaves behind?
She bought me this shaving kit for her birthday. I haven't used it for quite some time, but I kept it as one of the few reminders I have of her. She was 17 when we met. I was 27, married, with 3 children. We split up after 10 years, but love remained as strong as ever. On my side, at least.
Oh dear. From the BBC there, bringing to life a story from one of the world's most unusual collections, the Museum of Broken Relationships. Now, it's the brainchild of a former Croatian couple who wanted a home for all those tokens of love. The things discarded, perhaps, once a relationship collapses. What started out as a temporary exhibition in Zagreb a decade ago has been on the road ever since, visiting 33 cities, 21 countries. It's about to open its doors in Los Angeles in June. Museum Director Alexis Hyde and Assistant Director Amanda Vandenberg join me now from LA via Skype. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, that's a delight. And we'll be keeping fragments of this conversation later just in case it all goes horribly wrong. What do you think is so alluring about seeing the detritus from other people's relationship disasters?
I think one of the main things is it really gives you a sense of connection to everyone else, because these times when we're going through these trying situations, you feel so alone. You never feel like no one's ever hurt as bad and no one's ever been so alone as you are right now. But it turns out, we all have. We've all felt this bad and we've all felt this alone and we get through it. So I think that's one of the more attractive things, is that you really feel connected to the human race.
Amanda, the original museum, it had things like old roses, airsickness bags, obviously, toasters. What sort of items are you putting together in LA?
We've had so many interesting submissions, and you get a lot of the usual, what you expect. You get love letters and the dried flowers, the heart-shaped stones from walks on the beach. But you also get really interesting, unique items, the sort of things that when we first see the submission form come in, we're not sure we're going to actually get them in person. We recently received a woman's silicone implants after she had them removed. Which was a surprising submission. And then we also have, really odd objects, used emery boards, half-empty cologne bottles. You never really know what you're going to open when you get the package.
And people, do they document these things, I guess? The emery board, for example, how is that explained?
The emery board was a very kind of soft and beautifully touching story. It was from her late husband, had a lot of compulsions. He would do things over and over and over again. One of the things that drove her absolutely insane were that he'd file his nails everywhere he went, in the car, while they were watching TV nonstop. And they separated, and she really thinks that it was sort of these nervous compulsions that led to his eventual early death at 42. And she would really give anything to have him back, even if it meant listening to the emery boards again.
Oh, dear. There is great sadness here. And I guess, Alexis, we're sadness is a thing which compels our attention, does it not? I mean, it's something we all share, and perhaps in watching it, there's a sort of an empathy as well.
I think that there is. I mean, there's something about the permissive, voyeuristic nature of it that you get to see into behind other couples' closed doors. You're allowed to, and it is sad, and it is happy, and sometimes you do feel for them, and you get, you know, angry for the couple, you get sad, you get heartbroken, and maybe at the end of the day, after you've read through them, you decide to be a little bit more kind in your own relationships because you value them that much more.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it, Amanda? One of the great unknowable things in life is other people's relationships. I mean, we can never imagine the interior of a relationship between two people.
Absolutely. And I think that there is a voyeuristic quality. Sometimes when people hear about the concept of the museum, the knee-jerk reaction is that, oh, no one wants to hear about your breakup stories. But it's the opposite. Everyone wants to hear about stories. Everyone wants to know all the little details. And if the stories are tragic or if they are funny, everyone has a different take on them. And it really speaks to the universality of the experience.
Alexis Hyde and Amanda Vandenberg putting together the Museum of Broken Relationships, about to open in Los Angeles, joining us here on Sunday Extra. You mentioned there the idea of the broken relationship. I wonder, would a museum of tremendously successful relationships be anywhere near as compelling?
I honestly don't think so, because, you know, people like to embrace each other a little bit more when we're all low, as opposed to celebrating each other when we're high. But also, I was talking to my friends when I first started this, and it turned out one of them has never been in love, and she's in her late 30s now. So she had nothing, she felt like she had nothing to donate because she didn't have any heartbreak in that way. So she's ended up donating something about a broken job. It's a different
Well, that's a relationship.
But it's, you know, a career can be broken as well.
Right. And I think that speaking about past relationships has the ability to stir up emotions that aren't necessarily present in present relationships, feelings of nostalgia or longing. You know, you don't have nostalgia about something that you're currently involved in. And so the objects that you treasure from the past are usually the sort of precious things that you would save in a fire, that you carry with you, even though they might be odd or old or unnecessary.
Amanda, I wonder, I mean, the relics of a breakup as opposed to the relics of the relationship itself, is there a distinction there between the two, marking the moment rather than the...
I don't know that many people tend to mark the moment, but everyone, I feel, holds on to something that's indicative of that relationship. When they look at that object, they think of that person because it was something special they shared or a memory unique to them. And I think that's what people hold on to.
There must be something amazingly cathartic in this for the people, I suspect, that donate. Cathartic and sort of reassuring that what they had was worth observing and worth noting.
Not only is it cathartic for the donor, but I think it's cathartic for the viewer as well, because when they're reading through these stories and they're seeing the sentimentality of the object and how much attachment the donor had to it, they see that not only has someone gotten through something that could have been potentially tragic, they've felt that they've gotten through to a place where they can physically let go. And I think that gives hope to other people who, you know, if they're in a relationship now they want to get out of, or, you know, feeling brave enough to get out again on another date, because they'll survive. These people have survived and lived to tell the tale, and, you know, we can too.
This all began in Zagreb, now in Los Angeles. I wonder if through that geography there are changes in the sorts of objects that are collected. Is there something uniquely Croatian and something uniquely American from between the two?
I don't necessarily think so, because the location in Croatia, they accept submissions from all over the world. And similarly, the LA call for objects is doing the same. And so while the Croatian location may get a higher percentage of objects from Europe, and we might get a higher percentage of objects from the United States, it really is surprising how overarching a lot of the stories are. So I would say that when eventually we pull our collections together and they become one universal collection, it'll be a really nice thing to pull from.
And showing the wonderful universality of human emotional experience. It's identical wherever you might be. Are men or women more likely to collect the relics of a relationship?
I think it's actually pretty well split. There might be a slight slant towards more women donating, but I would say we do get a pretty healthy amount from both sexes. And like Alexa said, so few of the stories have identifying pronouns to who the speaker is that you don't necessarily know the exact nature of the relationship. So it's really easy to insert yourself into it.
Oh, Amanda, Alexis, thank you so much. What a fascinating thing. And what a small and touching joy it must be to put this together.
It really is. We're so humbled to be a part of this and so proud and excited to share this with Los Angeles and you know, keep extending the program for the world with Croatia.
Maybe one day here in Australia, who knows? The Museum of Broken Relationships director, Alexis Hyde, assistant director Amanda Vandenberg, joining us there via Skype from LA, where it's about to open its doors in June. This is Sunday Extra here on RN.